Almost every day, Israeli troops leave their base to bulldoze Palestinian houses. They say it's to deny terrorists cover. But most of the houses belong to ordinary Palestinians. Thousands have lost their homes, some with only moments' notice. And there's no compensation. For 2 years, despite tear gas and bullets, a small group of British and American protesters from the International Solidarity Movement has tried to stop the bulldozers. One of the protesters filmed these pictures. Before our visit, a protester had been killed. Rachel Corey was the first American to be killed in Gaza.
She was at eye level with the driver of the bulldozer. She was up, her head and upper torso were actually above the blade of the bulldozer, so he could very clearly see that she was there, her in her orange fluorescent jacket that she was wearing. But instead of stopping at this point, he continued forward, which buried her legs and pulled her legs down. And as she got pulled down, she was pulled out of view of the bulldozer driver. And if he had stopped at this point, he may have only just broken her legs. But he continued forward anyway until she was sucked all the way underneath the bulldozer.
The Israeli Defense Force says the driver did not see her. That Rachel Corey died because of her own irresponsible and illegal behavior.
You can see the space underneath the bulldozer. It wasn't the treads that killed her. She didn't get run over by the treads. It was only the blade. Either a really gross mistake or a really brutal murder.
She was talking and her lip was torn. It was just like, oh my God, she survived. And then she said, my back is broken, and I held her head. I'd taken my phone out to call an ambulance, but as soon as she said my back is broken, I dropped my phone and just held onto her head to try and stabilize her spine. And it was just such a miracle. It was like, how did she survive? She looks a mess, but it doesn't matter. She's alive. She's talking.
But not for long. Rachel died soon afterwards.
I just had an image of her as I last saw her before she was engulfed. Scrabbling, desperately trying to free herself and trying to get out of the way of the bulldozer.
That afternoon, Rachel Corey's friends planned to hold a memorial service on the front line. If Rachel made a mistake, it was to believe she could protest in the same way she would have in America. But here, there are different rules.
The peace activists are going to lay flowers on the spot where Rachel was killed by the bulldozer a couple of days ago. Yes. This area is surrounded by Israeli checkpoints, so we're being watched by Israelis right now.
I was about to learn my own lesson about the rules of life here.
How do you feel about what Rachel did? He said he's glad that she defended the Palestinians.
The shots came from an armored personnel carrier speeding towards the memorial service. When some of the protesters stood their ground, the armored personnel carrier tear gassed them and then fired over their heads. Rachel Corey's memorial service came to an abrupt end. Later, I returned to the house that overlooks the place where Rachel Corrie died. She used to sleep here to help protect it. It's owned by a pharmacist, Dr. Samir Nasrallah.
This house is really the front line. This is the last house left standing in what was a neighborhood, and now this is just one lonely house on the frontier on its own.
Walk with me, okay?
His front door opens onto what the Israelis call the combat zone. They shoot first, then ask questions.
So that's where Rachel was when she died.
Yeah. And the bulldozers start to coming to this.
We heard the sound of something approaching. Dr. Samir sprinted for the house.
We've had to cut that interview. A tank is now coming. We have to get inside, which may not be much safer.
Wow.
That noise? Is that a tank?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And aren't your children scared?
Yeah. Every day hearing gunshots. Every day.
What's that banging?
Azmi Keshawi, our local producer, is worried.
I hope they're not demolishing this house.
They stay because they've put their life savings in this house. They're still paying off the mortgage.
I can't sleep, you know. I smoke about 40 to 50 cigarettes. Because during the night, I'm thinking with sound. I open, see near my house what happened, prepare yourself like this, open the door, notice everything.
And do you hear them outside all the time, like we've heard them driving around this evening?
Yeah.
Do they come in the night?
Yeah, of course. I don't know. Maybe I will die tomorrow. Maybe my daughter, my son. But I'm laughing in front of them.
Three hours later, it went quiet, and we crept outside.